on today's episode of Peace to Live By.
God has promised that he will take up all Christians from the earth, sparing them of his wrath. This event is the start, the beginning of the end of the world as we know it now. And this event has become known as the rapture of the church.
Welcome to the program today. Peace to Live By is a radio ministry featuring Bible teacher Daniel Litton, found online at peacetoliveby.org. This program exists to build up Christians in becoming more like Jesus Christ and to give witness of the truth to those who do not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Daniel seeks to emphasize clarity and factual truth about the Bible in this weekly broadcast. Let's hear Daniel tell us more about today's message. Daniel?
Today we are going to hear the first message of three messages about the end times. This message today focuses on the rapture of the church and the tribulation period. I pray that as we consider these things, these end times events, that we will pay careful attention to God's word about these matters. We never know when the rapture is going to occur, so we always need to make sure we are ready.
Okay, thanks, Daniel. Now, here's today's message.
A number of you have likely been to a sporting event of which there was a weather delay that occurred during the gameplay. Perhaps at the soccer game or football game you were at, there was a lightning flash and a referee suspended play for a while. The lightning, in this case, was the cause of the delay. Well, I want you to understand that just like the lightning strike suspended gameplay, so the nation of Israel's rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ led to a suspension in God's program with the Israelites for the time being. That is, God suspended his program with the nation of Israel for a while, and is now focusing on saving people from the whole world. Right now in human history, we are in the church age. But just as weather usually ultimately clears at a game, so God will again shift his focus to the nation of Israel in the future. God will establish his kingdom here on the earth as he originally promised in the Old Testament and reiterates in the New Testament. God always does what he says he is going to do. But before that kingdom is established, God will display his wrath to all mankind living on the earth at the end time. Before his wrath is displayed, though, God has promised that he will take up all Christians from the earth, sparing them of his wrath, as Christians are never destined for God's wrath. This event is the start, the beginning of the end of the world as we know it now. And this event has become known as the rapture of the church. Today, I want to focus on this rapture so that we can have a better understanding of it and look forward to our being gathered together with Jesus escaping death. Now, alongside this, I also want us to discover the time of the Great Tribulation today, also known as the times of Jacob's troubles. This time will be a time of great distress on the earth and for its inhabitants, and I think it's important for us to consider as well. So first, let's discuss the rapture. You may have seen a movie or two which illustrates the rapture on film. Oftentimes, the people raptured just disappear no matter what they are doing, whether they are at home, work, in traffic, and the cars are just sitting in the roadway empty. Actually, this may indeed be an accurate picture of what the rapture will look like, though God is able to take everyone orderly if he wants to. There doesn't have to be chaos if God doesn't allow there to be. When talking about how people will be raptured, often a passage of scripture from Matthew chapter 24 is brought up, where it talks about one person being taken and another left, it says, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. That's Matthew chapter 24 and verses 40 through 42, and that was the English Standard Version, which I will be using today. But these verses from Matthew chapter 24 are not talking about the rapture, but rather the second coming of Jesus after the tribulation period. Jesus didn't talk about the rapture during his earthly ministry, as he focused on end times events from a Jewish perspective. The rapture, while it will include Jewish people, is mainly focused on the Gentiles, since it occurs at the end of the church age, which is also called the times of the Gentiles. The rapture was a mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul after Jesus went back to heaven. I want to look at the first of two foundational passages from the Bible that talk about the rapture. The first is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn with me there in your Bible, or tap in your Bible app. Here the Apostle Paul is sharing a special revelation to the Corinthians that has been made known to him. Let's pick up in the passage in verse 50. The passage reads as follows. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. God, in his great love for the church, desires to save Christians right before the end times, from the great troubles of the tribulation that are to come. He does this in his gracious mercy. When this rapture occurs here on the earth, believers who are alive will be given new resurrected bodies, those that have been promised to us and other areas of Scripture as well. It is necessary for us to get these new bodies because the bodies that we have now are failing because of sin. So we are brought together with Christ at this resurrection. But really, to understand this rapture in a little further detail, it is good for us to consider a passage found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn or tap there, please, if you would. Here, Paul is again discussing the details of the rapture. Let's pick up on this passage in verse 15. The scripture reads, for this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore encourage one another with these words. Here, Paul adds some more valuable details to the rapture. First, we learn that there will be a cry from heaven, which involves a command. And this will be from an archangel, and will be accompanied by God's trumpet sounding. We can note from this text that the dead in Christ are the people who will rise first and receive their new resurrected bodies. These are the people who have died after Christ's resurrection in the past 2,000 years. Since the rapture is a church event, these are the people of the church age. God will gather up the remains of every Christian during this period. Now, he has the ability to gather these remains, even if they are dust or decomposed in the oceans or transformed into other particles. God has the ability from the particles that exist now to gather people's remains and give them new bodies. This is something we really cannot understand. The people who experienced the flight of the rapture actually escaped dying, like Ezekiel did in the Old Testament. That sounds pretty good to me, though death is not to be feared, but it would be nice to not have to go through it. The believers who go up into the sky will also be transformed, being given new resurrected bodies, like I already stated. Now that we see that the rapture exists within Scripture, at what time should we say that it will take place? I think it is best to say that the rapture will occur before the revealing of the Antichrist on the earth. He is the one world leader, leading the one world government. So the rapture occurs before the 7-year tribulation and not within the tribulation period or at the end of this period. We know this because Christians are not designated for God's wrath. Consider what Revelation chapter 16 and verse 1 states. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the 7 angels, "Go and pour out on the earth the 7 bowls of the wrath of God." So this verse states that the 7 bowls during the tribulation period are, quote, of the wrath of God, end of quote. Paul also states in Ephesians chapter 2 that we, as Christians, in the past, quote, were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, end of quote. That's Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 3 through 5. But with all these people leaving the earth to go back with the Lord Jesus Christ, won't the people of the earth then wonder where these people have gone? This is an interesting thing to think about. I would say, though, that not a lot of people will probably be leaving, so the gap shouldn't be as noticeable as one might assume. However, the number of people to be raptured really doesn't matter when discussing what people will think about the people who are raptured, who are left on the earth, and who are missing. God says in 2 Thessalonians that after the rapture, when the Antichrist is here on the earth, that those who knew the truth before the end time started will in fact have no hope of ever being saved. It is noted by Paul, "Therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. So the people who are left on the earth, who knew about the rapture beforehand, won't see the truth behind what actually happened. They will accept the Antichrist and receive his mark and be condemned forever. Jesus asked the following question about when he comes back to the earth at the second coming, quote, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" end of quote, Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. So many people during the tribulation aren't going to have faith anyway to figure out the truth behind the rapture. Now, I want to shift gears here and focus on the tribulation period. The tribulation period is the period of time on the earth after the rapture to the second coming of Jesus Christ. This period is 7 years long. See Daniel chapter 9. The first 3.5 years will likely be peaceful here on the earth, with the Antichrist and false prophet giving people a false sense of peace. But then things will turn to sudden despair for the last 3.5 years. The world, the earth as we know it, will face its most daunting troubles since it ever existed. This event will encompass the entirety of the earth, not just part of it, just like the flood of Noah. People will try to escape the ferocity of the wrath of God, but they will not be able to, again, just like during Noah's flood. I want to start in our journey through this tribulation period by looking at a verse from the book of Daniel. In the 9th chapter of Daniel, the prophet Daniel is being told by the angel Gabriel about the future of the nation of Israel. Gabriel talks about the immediate future for Israel up to the time of Christ's death and resurrection, and then talks about the destruction of Jerusalem that occurred in 70 AD. Now bear in mind that this is an Old Testament book, and the angel Gabriel was making prophetic predictions, which two of the three have come true thus far. The final period of time he talks about is the last 7 years of the current system of the earth as we know it today. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27 states, "And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator." Now, weeks in this verse represent years, as many theologians will agree. So Gabriel points out that the Antichrist, the leader of the one-world government, will establish a peace treaty for the Israelites. The Jewish people will have their land back, the Temple Mount, and will again set up the system of sacrifices for sins from the Old Testament. The Jewish people will think they have peace and protection from the Antichrist treaty. But halfway through the 7 years, the Antichrist will march into the temple of God that the Jews have rebuilt and declare himself as God, bypassing God altogether, just like Satan did when he fell. The Antichrist will become a traitor, setting himself against the Jewish people. He will start persecuting them instead, declaring himself to in fact be God. The Apostle Paul discusses some of the things related to this time of the tribulation period when things go bad here on the earth. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, 'There is peace and security,' then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers and sisters, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." That was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5. This shows the sudden intensity that is sure to come from the wrath of God. Paul compares the tribulations coming on like that of the pains that come upon a pregnant woman. But he encourages the church that this time is not something that they need to be concerned about. He also says a few verses later, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." That's verses 9 through 11 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One foundational passage to cite in understanding this time of trouble, the last 3.5 years, is from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself when he spoke about this time of great tribulation. We are going to consider a lengthy passage here. Turn with me in your Bibles or navigate in your Bible apps to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to start at verse 15. Jesus states the following, "So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. There are several things I want to note from this text. When the Antichrist decimates the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, Jesus gives instructions to the Jewish people living on the earth at that time, as he talked about the people fleeing. As some will expect Christ's second coming, he warns people that there will be, quote, false Christs and false prophets, end of quote. This time will be a time of great activity for Satan and his demons. Indeed, more so than has ever been on the earth in the past, for they will, quote, perform great signs and wonders, end of quote. Many people will be deceived. They will think that these miracles are coming from God, when in fact they are coming from Satan. Really, I think this is part of God's wrath toward unbelievers, and that he allows them to be so deceived by these signs and wonders. But Jesus also notes that his second coming will be unmistakable, as it will light up the whole sky when he descends to the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem. The details of the tribulation period are found in Revelation chapters 6 through 19 and involve judgments from God from the seals, trumpets, and bowls. God saves 144,000 Israelites who are sealed, as noted in Revelation chapter 7. There are judgments that come from seven seals that are found on a scroll. These judgments involve battles and food shortage, which includes one-fourth of the people in the world dying. Also, people who have believed in God will be martyred. That is, people who have believed in God after the rapture. There will also be various troubles and instabilities in the universe and space. The seventh seal marries into the trumpet judgments. Then there are the seven trumpet judgments, which cause utter destruction to the earth and its inhabitants, both people and animals. These judgments are seen in Revelation chapters 8 through 11. Finally, seven bowls of wrath are dumped into the world. There are seven angels with seven plagues, and angels pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God, noted in Revelation chapters 15 and 16. These bowls of wrath bring severe punishment to the followers of the Antichrist. Now, unfortunately, I do not have time to go through all of these events that I just mentioned from Revelation today in more detail. I would encourage you to read the book of the Revelation again when you get the chance, as it will definitely be profitable for you to do so. In conclusion today, Maybe you are thinking about these end times events of the rapture and tribulation period, and maybe you believe that they are indeed true. Perhaps you want to make sure you're not left here on the earth if the end does indeed come. Maybe you don't know God, don't know Jesus, as your personal Lord and Savior, and you would like to know him. Well, today, you can become part of God's family by repenting of your sins, the things you know are wrong, and of which are against God, and by believing in Jesus' perfect sacrifice on the cross for your sins. Jesus came into the world as a man and died on the cross and rose again some 2,000 years ago so that we, as humans, would not have to go to the place of torment, hell, after this life for our sins. By accepting Jesus' sacrifice in your place, in which he paid the penalty that you deserve, you can escape from any of God's wrath. God will accept you completely, and he will transform you to be like Jesus. Remember what we learned today, that anyone who knows the truth but refuses to believe it and obey it, that if the rapture does indeed take place and the end comes, you will have no chance for repentance of your sins and hope of believing in God. It is very important you do not pass up God's nudge on your heart to do what is right, to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The writer of Hebrews noted to some Jewish people of his day, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God." If you would like to accept Jesus today as your personal Lord and Savior, then follow my lead in this prayer. God, I am a sinner. I have sinned against you in many ways in my life, but now I turn from my sins and want to accept Jesus' death on the cross as a substitute for what I deserve. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me and that he rose from the dead so that I might have a new life in you. God, I turn from my sins and give my life over to you, so that you are in control of me because you know what is best for me. I believe Jesus is Lord of everyone and everything. Please change me, Father, and make me good like Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Daniel. You are listening to Peace to Live By with Bible teacher Daniel Litton. To download and listen to complete messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. Again, that web address is peacetoliveby.org. There on the website, you'll also find a link to contact the ministry. We love to hear from our listeners. Feel free to reach out and send us your comments. Your messages are encouraging and inspiring for us. For Daniel Litton, I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll be back next week for another episode of Peace to Live By. This program is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry. in Powell, Ohio.